Good morning.
Good to see everybody here this morning. I do want to welcome our visitors and pray that you can be back with us at any time. Again, do apologize for our laxity in getting the announcement out about our 100-year anniversary. We've talked about it, but we haven't really put a whole lot of emphasis on it. And in a blink of an eye, it's going to be here. I meant to give Kurt a call and see if he had started working on a mail out, but he's out of town this week. And so we need to jump right on that as quickly as possible. I would encourage you, if you have your Bibles, to turn to Romans chapter 7. This will be our text for today. And I want to encourage us to begin in verse 14, and we'll read our text, and then we'll have several comments that we would like to make this morning. Paul, writing to the Romans, said, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold into bondage to sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand, for I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I am doing the very thing I hate. But if I do the very thing I do not want to do, I agree with the law, confessing that the law is good. So now, no longer am I the one doing it, but sin dwells in me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For the willing is present in me, but the doing the good is not. For the good that I want, I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not want. But if I am doing the very thing I do not want, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. I find then the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good. For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man, but I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of the mind, and making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God, but on the other, with my flesh, the law of sin." I want you all to be honest with me. How many of you have read that text and you're like, huh? Okay. Oftentimes, we read this text, and we often come to the conclusion that Paul is talking about a struggle that the Christian will face as long as they live. The ongoing battle between the flesh and the spirit. And while living the Christian life is a battle, folks, and Paul talks about that in Ephesians 6 verses 10 through 18, and the fact that it involves keeping our body in subjection, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 27, as we look at this text this morning, I believe that this section in Romans is speaking of something quite different. I don't think Paul is addressing the individual battle that we have with sin. And yes, each one of us have to face the devil each and every day of our lives. But let's look at this in context this morning. Paul has been describing in this letter why it was necessary for God to remove the law of Moses and bring Jesus and the gospel as the path to salvation. Everyone who lived under the law ended up being guilty of sinning. Romans 3 verse 9, also Romans 3 verse 23. And no one can stand justified before God on the sole basis of the law of Moses. Romans 3 verse 19. Even the law itself predicted its own removal. Romans 3 verse 21 and also verse 31. Now, we know that God desired all men to be saved, not just those who lived under the old law or the law of Moses. Romans 4 verse 16. The law, folks, had a purpose, but it was not the final purpose, as Romans 5 21 tells us. In this chapter, Romans chapter 7, Paul has started speaking of the necessity of being released from the law and joined to Christ. And then he speaks of his experience of living under the law of Moses in verses 8 through 11. Now keep in mind, as we enter our text in verse 14, he is still speaking of the same law. So, verses 14 through 24 must be speaking of his experience of trying to please God while living under that law. And Romans chapter 8 shifts from being under the law to being a Christian and in Christ. Look at what verse 1 of chapter 8 says. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So in chapter 8, Paul goes on to explain why being a Christian, why being in Christ, is so much better than what it was like under the law. And the condemnation mentioned in Romans 7:24 is not found in a relationship with Jesus Christ. In Jesus, you and I can experience what the law of Moses could not perform. And finally, in contrast to the frustration, the battle, and the failure mentioned in Romans 7, verses 14 through 24, I find Paul speaking differently about his experience in living the Christian life. In Romans 8, verse 37, he says, "But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us." So on one hand, in our text, you've got Paul talking about how overwhelming sin is. And then in chapter 8, near the end, he's saying, but we're conquerors in Jesus Christ. So in our text, he's like, it's a never-ending battle. But in Christ, we can overcome. And we're reminded in Galatians 5 verse 1 that he says it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Now, keep in mind, even Jesus spoke of his yoke being light. Matthew 11 verses 28 through 30. And those who followed him would be truly free. John 8 verse 36. And so Romans 7, let's look at this particular passage and look at what many people often think is being talked about here. A lot of people think that Romans 7 is talking about total depravity. They see this as being born in sin and totally depraved. But keep in mind, again, this does not agree with the context or the language in this section of the book of Romans. The man in this section, first of all, knows God's law. Okay? And secondly, he knows that the law is spiritual. Verse 14. And even in verse 22, he reminds us that he rejoices in God's law. So this is not a picture of total depravity whatsoever. The man in this section actually desires to avoid sin. Verses 15 and 16. He wants to do what is right. Verses 19 and 21. And he desires to be delivered from sin. And he even asks the question, who will set me free? So let's talk about Romans 7. In the flesh. Paul says in this section that nothing good dwells in this flesh. Chapter 7, verse 18. Now, it's tempting to see Paul saying, the problem is my body. It's so evil. Yet I don't think that Paul is blaming everything on his body. Okay? First of all, God designed our physical bodies, and even after sin entered this world, our bodies are spoken of as amazing things. The psalmist says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, even in Romans, the physical body can be an instrument of righteousness. Romans 6, verse 13 through 16. Now, that wouldn't be possible if we were completely evil. Correct? The works of the flesh, in Galatians 5, verses 19 through 21, are works that involve the mind as well, and not just the body. Some are very mental, including enmities, strife, jealousy, factions, dissensions, envying. Now, finally, in the context of Romans 7, we find that the term flesh is used when clearly more than the physical body is under consideration. And Paul will say in Romans 8, verse 8, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Now, this has to include more than or something other than just the physical body that we inhabit. Because Christians still have a physical body. And yet we can please God while being in our physical body. Okay? So let's talk about what it means when Paul says in the flesh. This would include people who place their bodily appetites above every other consideration. Philippians 3, verse 19. It would also include people, It would also include people who refuse to come to Jesus and argue that they can be good people and be right with God without actually submitting to God. So when Paul said that nothing good dwelt in his flesh, he was not saying that there was nothing good about his physical body, because that body could be used for God. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20. Rather, Paul is talking more about the mindset that is devoid of any good. And this would include a mindset that lives for instant gratification, and equally one that argues that it does not need Jesus, is a good person without him, doesn't need to be a member of any church, and can be right with God by staying under the law of Moses. Paul immediately, in this text, uses the terminology sold into bondage to sin. Now keep in mind, Paul is not saying that he was born a sinner, where he has already said the very exact opposite. Romans 7, verse 9, he says, I was once alive. So he's not saying that Adam sold him, for we only end up being sinners by sinning ourselves. Romans 5, verse 12. And neither is Paul saying that being in bondage of sin means that one is sinning constantly and all the time. Paul was seeking to live before God in a pure conscience while under the law. Okay? Acts 23, verse 1. And like the rich young ruler, he had been a very moral man. Matthew 19, verse 20 talks about that particular instance. He wasn't a drug addict. He wasn't a drunkard. He wasn't a fornicator. Yet he still ended up being in bondage to sin without Jesus. And he continues in verse 15, and he uses the terminology, he says, doing what I hate. Now keep in mind, Paul is not saying that he can never do right. Rather, under the law of Moses, he could not consistently, 24/7, do right. And without Jesus, he had no real guarantee of forgiveness when he repented. So let's look at the context of these words. As a Pharisee, Paul appeared to be very content with his former life. I reference you to Philippians 3, verses 4 through 7, and also Galatians 1, verse 14. Yet when this man, this Saul, encountered Jesus on the road to Damascus, Acts chapter 9, he was suddenly confronted with the fact that he was a sinner. Here's a man who was so determined to do the right thing that in rebelling against Jesus, he discovered that he had actually become something that he never wanted to be. He was a murderer and a blasphemer. Things that would have horrified him had he recognized it. And so, what is the lesson for us? Folks, we need to seriously consider Paul's warning to us. If we say that we don't need Jesus or the church, we're going to end up becoming what we don't really want to become. No one wants to become stubborn, dishonest, closed-minded, unloving, misguided, angry, and bitter. Yet that is exactly what you and I will become if I try to find my way to God without Jesus. As a modern example, just look at the people in our current society who claim to be open-minded, tolerant, accepting, kind and loving, who are actually becoming the very opposite. And they don't even see it happening to themselves. You see, when Paul held the cloak of Stephen as he was being stoned, he didn't see himself as a blasphemer or a violent aggressor. He thought he was a spiritual person. Without Jesus, folks, it doesn't matter what religion we are following. We will end up becoming exactly the opposite of what we wanted to become. The man who was so intent on serving God discovered he was a wretched man without Jesus, the gospel, and his church. And therefore, let's not fool ourselves. Rather, let's run to Jesus and the freedom that's found in him. Let's remind ourselves that there now is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. I'm not sure what it was. I think it was John. It may have been Jim. I heard so many good lessons last week, okay? And the week before. But we're reminded that we can't, in the religious world as a whole, not as a whole, but as a large part, loves to take things out of the Old Testament and try to apply them to the church today. It doesn't work. If you take one thing from the law, you have to keep the whole law. And only one person ever did it successfully. And that was Jesus Christ himself. And yet Jesus Christ comes to you and I and says, you don't have to do that anymore. I left heaven. I came to this earth, I lived a sinless life, and I gave that life for you. So that you no longer have to try to keep all these rules and regulations. I shed my precious blood so that you can be free. Now, does that mean we never sin? Absolutely not. Because we're told we need to repent and pray for forgiveness. And then when we do that, that precious blood will wash it away again. And before the eyes of God, we will be as white as snow. But see, under the old law, none of that was available. A sacrifice once a year will just temporarily set your sins aside and have to be offered again and again and again and again and again. But Jesus offered himself once for all. And through his precious blood, we don't have to worry about those things that Paul is addressing in Romans 7. Because we are not under the law anymore. We are now under the law of Christ. He has set us free. Paul said, I once was. What does that mean? I'm not anymore. All of us in this room who are Christians can say, I once was. I'm not anymore. Now, unfortunately, we can fall back into sin. We can turn our backs on Jesus. But then again, still fortunately in Jesus Christ, we can repent and return to Him. And He will forgive. This morning, where do you stand in Jesus Christ? Are you trying to live under the old law? Trying to keep a bunch of rules and regulations that you can never keep? Paul says it doesn't work. You can't be good enough. I can't be good enough. And I'm not saying there aren't good people in the world. But one sin separates you from God. Just one. Have you ever told a lie? You're separated from God. But thanks be to God, through Jesus Christ, all those sins can be washed away. This morning, Jesus tells us to repent and be baptized. He did that through his apostles on the day of Pentecost. And what will happen? Forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. This morning, if you're not right with God, you need to be. We want to encourage you. Don't leave this building wondering. If you have any questions, we have the answers. They're in God's Word. If we can help you in any way, Jimmy's going to lead us an invitation song. Won't you come? Let's get we stand and sing the invitation song.